Welcome to this bonus episode of Sound Opinions. If you want to be among the first to hear these bonus episodes, join us on Patreon and support the show like Dave Mundo. Dave, thanks, man. How wonderful it is to have listeners like you. You know, usually we do a Desert Island Jukebox or we tackle another issue, but we're going to turn this bonus podcast over to our ace producer, Andrew Gill, about a fascinating new project, and I'm going to keep you hanging until the other side of this about what that might be. You'll find out in a second on Sound Opinions.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's B-Y-T-E.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
And we are back. So we're here for Andrew Gill's big reveal. Our producer has a new project that we'd love to talk about. Andrew, tell us what you got going.
Well, first I have to make a confession to you guys and beg your indulgence. Hopefully after I tell you this, I still have a job on Sound Opinions. But
a job being in quotes.
You guys,
depends on if those Patreon
fans keep. Is that what you call this? A job?
Yeah. Well, first of all, it's a labor of love, but also it's a shoestring production.
Well, hopefully you still love me after I tell you this. My younger years, I grew up listening to Christian rock. I don't know if you guys have picked up on that.
Oh, you knew that about me. We knew that.
Wow, what was the tell? I don't know.
You are a person of faith, and your lovely wife is a minister.
A priest, because
it's Episcopal, so they have priests, right? Okay. I mean, I know this, you know, and just because I embrace Satan and his music doesn't mean I'm against other religions.
Sure, there's room for everyone. So I've been working on a project that is a podcast series about the world of Christian music. Really from the 80s, 90s, 2000s, during the peak era. So the show is called Rock That Doesn't Roll, and it is premiering today. So I asked your indulgence that maybe we could share a little bit about it for the Sound Opinions audience in case they want to check it out. So I'm here to answer any questions you guys
have. This is not a favor at all, Andrew. I've always been fascinated by that subculture. And I will admit, I feel the same way as I feel about the Grateful Dead culture. I love the party in the parking lot and the intricacies of being part of that community. Hey, the music, not so much, right? But, you know, I mean, we have at times dealt with signature bands of that, you know, of that genre, Sunny Day Real Estate, but most notably last year when we had David Bazan and Pedro the Lion performing for us and chatting. I mean, what? One of my all-time favorite live tapes.
Well, and just so thoughtful, you know.
Yeah.
He's just a very, you know, and I think a lot of the music, there's a lot of thought behind it. And what I love, Andrew, I got a sneak peek of what you're doing with Rock That Doesn't Roll. You and your co-host, Leah Payne, a professor, do a wonderful job of getting to that thoughtfulness behind the music, why it exists. Mm-hmm. You know, even people who may look askance at this as music will be enriched by what you guys are doing. So I don't want to give away too much.
Well,
but
I think
sense is that you're digging deep. You are acknowledging
Yeah.
That people have misgivings about.
It's the history
this
of a
music.
Sound. It's the history of a community. Mm-hmm. And the best stuff, because you are a rock critic. You've been working with us for 7, 8 years, 10 years now, right? there's good stuff and there's bad stuff. And the bad stuff, I think, tends to be really heavy-handed. Don't preach at me, man. Whereas the good stuff makes me think, just like all the best music in any genre.
Yeah, definitely. And I think one thing that's different about this podcast than Sound Opinions is that we kind of try to set aside whether or not the music is good or not. Because the fact exists that this music formed the people we're talking to, you know? So we're interviewing people who listened to this and had significant experiences with this music in formative moments in their life, which is almost always the teen, the 20s, mm-hmm. you know, like your younger years. And it can like push you in a direction that you might not have gone otherwise.
Andrew, when did this idea come to you?
Do you remember midterm election day 2018? So I'm sitting at the WBEZ studios next to Alex, actually. And we're working away at our episode. I don't remember what the episode was that week, but the air is tense. All the political reporters are hovering around, and we're watching all the TVs all around. What's going to happen? There's like accusations of fraud and stuff. And I look at Twitter and I refresh and I see some producers from NPR Music are posting pictures of the Tiny Desk concert that they're taping that day. And do you know who it was? It was Amy Grant. on midterm election day in 2018. And something about those facts just broke my brain. And I just was like, what is NPR doing on the day that's like the reckoning for, you know, this right-wing takeover of America? They have Amy Grant in the building. And I tried to talk about it with Alex or other people around me, and nobody really understood what I was talking about. They were just like, I don't know, Amy Grant's fine. She's just sort of, you know, adult contemporary pop music. I don't know. But at that moment, I realized like, all right, there is a disconnect with what's going on in my brain and what the rest of people are thinking about when they think of Christian rock. So maybe we can get on the same page. And this podcast is what grew out of that idea. It's a really strong force in American culture that people haven't really thought very seriously about. You know, it's way easier to make jokes about it because a lot of it is really funny, but
well, it's a strong force in the Christian community too, because it's advocating for people to be a little more open.
Yeah, often. Yeah. And then what does the Christian community or the establishment do when it gets too open, you know?
How do they clamp it back down? There is one Christian community, right?
Right,
I mean, that's
right.
Something that you guys are talking about. You and Leah, who's a wonderful co-host. So we're gonna highlight a little clip, right?
Yeah, I've got a extended trailer that we'll listen to after we're done talking. And spoiler alert, I will tell you, he's not in the trailer, but I did talk with David Bazan as well.
Of course.
Interviewed him for about 90 minutes or so, and he had some really, really insightful stuff to say.
Only 90 minutes? I mean, David's one of those people you could sit with and talk to for like eight hours.
Well, we hit stop on the recording, and then we talked for another hour after that. But yeah, I would love it if the Sound Opinions listeners would check out Rock That Doesn't Roll and, you know, give us your thoughts.
What about that name, Andrew? Where did that
come
from?
Well, the name is actually a song by Larry Norman from 1975, I think. And, you know, the idea of the song is that, you know, guess who the rock that doesn't roll is? I'll give you one guess. It's Jesus. Yeah, so when you look up Rock That Doesn't Roll, if you like search it on Spotify, you will find a Larry Norman song. That's not what we're talking about. This is wherever you get podcasts, look up Rock That Doesn't Roll and you'll find it there. It's the logo is like a keytar that's smashing. That'll tell you you're found the right one.
Well, you know where the name though Rock and Roll comes from.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
The devil's music. Well, no, it's a, it was an aphorism for sex.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
right.
Sure. And, you know, we do get into it. We did some interviews with rock historians about the Pentecostal churches that sort of, you know, were some of the stew that rock and roll first arose from. That outsider status and the Holy Ghost, like freedom. Oh, that
chat
people
we
were
just
getting.
Had about the Little Richard movie.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we try to get into some of that, how Christians created it, then rejected it, and then co-opted it in a way. So it's a really tangled mess, and there's endless hours of discussion that could be had about this. So we just get into a little bit of it with our show. But
well, congratulations, Andrew, and it's kudos to PRX's Big Questions Project for letting you run with this idea. We're not letting you leave Sound Opinions, but we're happy to highlight this labor of love.
Yeah, it's just I've been working double time. This is just a side project. So yeah.
Well, we'll lay this on our listeners now and you can go get some sleep.
All right. Thanks, you guys.
Thanks as always for listening to Sound Opinions.
1999 was quite a year for pop. The top 40 was full of pop princesses. Remember Baby One More Time by Britney Spears? And boy bands. Who could forget I Want It That Way by the Backstreet Boys?
You might be stunned to learn that one of the biggest selling singles that year was won by a band with a couple of kids who met at a church retreat.
Was Sixpence None the Richer a band of Christians or a Christian band? To some, the very idea of Christian rock is a contradiction in terms.
To others, it's something worthy of praise.
Hallelujah! But love it or hate it, what you might not know is that it was a billion-dollar business that shaped American culture.
From PRX and the Big Questions Project, Rock That Doesn't Roll is a new podcast that examines the impact of an industry that deserves a second look.
They just see Christian band, okay, and all of a sudden, like, it's, you know, they're screaming into the mic and, like, everything's as loud as humanly possible and kids are just flailing their arms like they're possessed by a spirit and they're like, oh my God, what do we get ourselves into?
Each episode, the show explores a world whose music has power to move hormonal teenagers more than any sermon.
Watching a woman, a girl you're in love with, raising her hands to God with her eyes closed in ecstasy. I'm sorry, folks, it doesn't get any better than that. Why wouldn't you fall in love with Christ? Are you kidding me?
The angels come in the room when I listen to the song, and they flap their wings, and I fall on the floor, and I weep gently. I can't just say no to that.
It's a subculture that's a little bit Christian.
And a little bit rock and roll.
This sounds like I'm making this up, but there were explosions on stage. They had pyrotechnics in the church gymnasium.
Join us as we go back to a time when secular acts like Nirvana weren't the only bands inspiring teens to hurl themselves into the mosh pit.
We couldn't have sex, we couldn't drink, we couldn't cuss. So, you know, let's get out here and just sort of like elbow each other for half an hour and then we'll pray and thank God and we'll go home. So it was, you know, kind of fun.
But was it all effective? Did CCM actually make more teenagers turn to Christ?
They were like, you have let Satan into the building. That's what they said.
And what about the artists? Could true creative expression survive all the extra stress? Or did they have to leave the Christian bubble for that?
It seemed like we were all ex-Christian bands. We all decided at the same time to take the plunge into the world.
This is a show about what happens when an industry forms a new holy trinity, faith, fandom, and fortune, and the people caught in the middle.
And I just thought, what is this? But then I immediately was like, well, this is not Christian, so I can't like this. Just file that away. That was amazing. That's not for me.
There was a guy that made stickers in the scene and it said, keep your Bible out of my ska punk, boycott Five Iron Frenzy. And we would put the stickers on our shirts and wear them.
I didn't think of that as a Christian decision. I felt like that was being true to who we are as a band. Like Jimmy World would never do that. Rage Against the Machine would never do that. Like that's just not who we are.
Listen to Rock That Doesn't Roll from PRX and the Big Questions Project.
Starting October 4th, wherever you get your podcasts.